comes, praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes hallelujah, sometimes mighty God, my Jesus is. What a mighty God, I know He is. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow. What a mighty God Jesus is. Let's sing it together. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, I know that He is. Oh, what a mighty God I know. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my I know that He is. Oh, what a mighty God I know He is. All of heaven and earth adore Him. His little bride loves to bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God, my Jesus is. Oh, yes, what a mighty God, my Jesus is. Little bride, do you know that He is? Oh, what a mighty God, I know He is. Oh, all of heaven and earth adore Him. His little bride, they bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. One more time together. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, yes, what a mighty God I know He is. Heaven and earth adore Him. Lord, how we love to bow before Him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just stand for a moment if you would. And well, Sister Layton, both of our drummers are out. This was your chance. I like to tease her about those drums, but amen. Lord bless you tonight. And we want to pick up again on questions and answers. We've been looking at this for the last couple weeks, and probably we'll be looking at it for a few weeks here on some of the different questions that people had on their heart. But before we get into the questions tonight, we just want to read a scripture together. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Says, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to approach your word again tonight, just ask that you would come on the scene again in a special way. Lord, I know that there's many questions on the people's hearts. Lord, some of them concerned about loved ones and concerned about friends and different ones, Father. And Lord, just as we begin to look into the Word, may it bring encouragement. May it bring revelation. Lord, may it bring light, Father, to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the Word that we've received in this day. Thank you for a place where we can go and receive, Lord, more of you, Father. Lord, when we go to the Word and we begin to look, Lord, your prophet said that was the only place that you would meet your people is around the Word, Father. So we want to come and be around the Word, Lord, not only just the written Word, not only just the revealed Word, but Father, may your Holy Spirit just quicken it so it'll be a living Word, Father, in us. And Lord, may you just come and do something special for us tonight. Lord, just ask that you'd take complete control of the service. Take complete control of each one present here, Father, for your glory. May a testimony come from the service tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. And looking at the questions, most of these questions that we've received so far, which is fine, but most of them have been related to doctrine and things like that, questions about the message, questions about the Bible. But you feel free, if you've got any questions, as far as I know, some of the deacon brothers and I were talking. We had a deacon's meeting here Sunday night before the men's meeting. And if you have any questions about church-related things, church order, why we do certain things certain ways, why we do certain things here at the church, anything like that, you feel free to ask that as well. We want you to be, you know, feel free to ask whatever's on your heart. And first question tonight is, again, on the foolish virgins. The first night we had quite a few questions on that, and then there's been quite a few follow-up questions in regards to that. It says, in regards to the five foolish virgins, you said last Wednesday that some of those could be message believers who haven't received the Holy Ghost. If Brother Branham said that the Holy Ghost was accepting the word for your day, and these people have accepted the message, how can they turn their back on the message or not live the message and still be foolish virgin? On the other side of that, the devil believes the message too. So that's the question, first question tonight. And as we said, you know, a couple Wednesday nights ago, speaking on the foolish virgins, that those would either be those in the nominal realm outside of the message that haven't heard the truth, haven't ever been given the opportunity to hear it, or haven't been presented it in the right way, but yet they lived up to the full potential of the word that they had heard for their day. Or it would be message believers that heard the word for their day, but just didn't go on completely into the Holy Ghost. Now, what they're referring to there is in the Church Age book, where Brother Branham says that the true evidence of the Holy Spirit is to accept the revealed word for your day. That's more than just saying, I believe the message. And there's many today that say, I believe the message, that haven't really fully accepted the revealed word for their day. If so, then we could all just go on the rapture and all have the Holy Ghost if it was just literally verbally saying, I believe God sent a prophet, or I accept the message. But it has to be more than that, accepting. Remember, he said, we looked at it several places in the Church Age book, he said it has to be more than just to believe it, but you have to live it too. It has to be something that you've accepted down the inside, and not just live it by works, or going through the motions of, well, we went to church, we took communion, we did this, we did that, we dressed the right way, we acted the right way, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. But it's got to be a personal relationship with you and Jesus Christ, not just the works alone, although we do believe a true experience will produce the works, but yet it's got to be more than just works alone, because there's a lot of good people out here, some of the Mohammedans can outdo us on works, all the things that they do and go through and work, but that's not going to get them saved, because there's only one door, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet we begin to look and see there's sadly many around the message too that they do, you know, they have their set of rule books and they do this and do that, but yet many of them fall away, or many of them get discouraged or different things. Why? Because it was never a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to produce a birth. And so it takes that birth to receive the Holy Ghost for you to really be able to accept it. There is many a man out here that can say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many a Catholic believes it. Many a Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, whatever you want to name. There are many, many multiplied thousands of them that can tell you they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But yet John says over in the New Testament that no man can say that Jesus is the Son of God except by the Holy Ghost. So do they all have the Holy Ghost? No, they've been intellectually taught it, and they absolutely believe it. Intellectually, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many little school child, 4 or 5 years old, they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because they've been taught it, and they've received it intellectually in their mind. That doesn't mean they have the Holy Ghost. For you to really, truly be able to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God means for you to have that Holy Ghost experience, that it's not just because you read it in a book, no matter how good the book would be. It's not just because mommy or daddy said it, no matter how good mommy or daddy might be, not just because the pastor said it, not just because the Sunday school teacher taught you, but when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a personal revelation to you that I know that He's the Son of God. Not because you learned it by man or because you read it in a book, but because it's a personal experience to you. So many can say with their lips that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, never have the Holy Ghost, maybe never even be saved or sanctified or anything, but yet to really truly be able to say it down from your soul, it would have to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same goes with the message. Many, many, many hundreds of people, thousands, even some churches in Africa, 8,000-10,000 people in a church, they would all tell you, we believe that God sent a prophet. We believe the message. But that's not receiving the message for your day. That's being able to intellectually understand that God sent a prophet. There's a lot of Pentecostals that recognize that. That doesn't mean that they've received the message for their day. That doesn't mean that they've truly, fully accepted the message for their day. It means that intellectually they understand what a prophet is, and they can put 2 and 2 is 4 and recognize a vindicated prophet when they see one. And yet many of them still walk away and say, well, we still want our women preachers. We still want our short skirts. We still want to bob our hair and do all these different things. But oh, bless God, he was a wonderful prophet. They recognize it with their mind, but they haven't truly accepted it. Sadly, many around the message have got to the same place to where they believe it. They'd get in a fist fight with you if you told them they didn't believe it, but they haven't truly, fully received the full revelation that they get up to a certain point, and it says, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And where are they? It says, Brother Bram says, don't send your kids to Sunday school, take them. But yet, where are many hundreds of them, even in just in this area? They get to a certain point, they say, oh, you know, you get on marriage and divorce, or you get on holiness, or you get on women preachers, or you get on something that's their little pet doctrine, and you get up to that spot, and they say, we believe it this way, or mommy or daddy or brother so-and-so said it was this way. I don't care what mommy or daddy or brother so-and-so said. If it's contrary to the word, Paul said, let every man's word be a lie, and mine the truth. He said, oh my, he said, if you know, if any man comes, or even any angel comes and teaches anything contrary to what we've already received, let him be accursed. The message today types Israel in the journey in the wilderness. And there was a God-sent prophet, a vindicated prophet with the pillar of fire in the days of Moses. And he walked out there and delivered the people. And 2 million people came out of bondage after 430 years of being in Egypt. They come out of bondage, and all of them could say, God sent a prophet. All of them recognized that God sent a prophet. There was a ministry that followed that prophet of the Levites. There was Aaron and his sons, on down through his generation. They were all saying, God sent a prophet. There was a Joshua and Caleb that went out. There was an Aaron and a Miriam and a Jethro that were part of Moses' own family. There was a Dathan and a Korah group that they went out. They were all saying, God sent a prophet. And they recognized it, and they were even delivered by it. Came out of their denominational creeds and doctrines and ideas and were freed by this message of deliverance and walked in it. They were baptized in the Red Sea, Brother Branham tells us. And not only Brother Branham, but St. Paul says they were baptized in the Red Sea. They came out and danced and maybe spoke in tongues and sang in the Spirit on the banks of the Red Sea there on the other side. Once they realized they were victorious, they ate manna in the wilderness. Their clothes for 40 years, never. They didn't have to go to Dillard's or Macy's or Kmart or JCPenney or wherever you can afford to shop, or Goodwill, whatever it would be. It don't make any difference as long as they're decent clothes that aren't revealing. Brother Bram didn't say where to buy them. He said how, you know, what they should look like. So it don't matter to me where you go and shop, but they didn't have to go to any of those stores and get new clothes. Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have a nurse. They didn't have a doctor. There wasn't no sickness amongst them. There they were for 40 years. They got thirsty, and God gave them water out of a rock, the most unlikely place that it could be. They saw the signs. They saw the wonders, and 2 million, almost of them, 1,900,099.8, all of them wound up dying because they couldn't go on into the promised land. And two of them, one in a million, Brother Bram preached, two of them went part and were the bride type for the age. Two of them. Were all those lost? Was Aaron and Miriam and Jethro lost? I don't believe it. But they weren't the bride type. They died arguing out there in the wilderness. Died. Moses even, he couldn't go on into the promised land because he got to smiting the rock when God tried to get him to do it his way and speak to the rock. Moses wanted to glorify himself and smites the rock. God said, you can't go on over. But there was a Joshua and a Caleb there that went on into the promised land. There was a Dathan and a Korah group that had seen all the same signs and wonders that Joshua and Caleb had. They had seen every miracle. They'd seen every plague. They'd seen every sign and every wonder. They'd seen the death angel pass because of some blood over the door. You say, what did that have to do with it? God told the prophet, and the prophet told the people, and the people that did it, their children were saved, and the ones that didn't do it, their children were lost. They could have said, this doesn't make any sense, Moses. Scientifically prove me how some blood over the door is going to keep a death angel. He said, I can't scientifically prove it, but you better do it because he's passing through tonight. And Dathan and Korah right there, maybe their own children, their own eldest children standing there in the camp with them. And they could look back and remember the night that the death angel passed through the camp. And they could remember Dathan and Korah out there, oh, God sent a prophet, praise the Lord. And the death angel passed over them. But then time went on and circumstances got worse, and they began to study and they began to read and they began to look, and they thought, hey, you know what? I know a little bit more about it than Moses. And they begin to try to start their own ministry separate from Moses and say, well, you're not the only holy one in the group. Well, that was true in one sense of the matter, depending on what their attitude was towards it. He ordained 70 elders to sit there and judge over different things in the people. He had a ministry following with the Levites of Aaron and his sons. That was true. He wasn't the only holy one in the camp. It wasn't what they said. It was the attitude they said it in.
And God said, just come apart, Moses. And Moses came out and he said, choose you this day who you're going to serve and who's on the Lord's side. And they went out there, and there, Dathan and Korah and his group fell in, and then the people got mad at Moses. It wasn't Moses that opened up the earth, it was God, but the people got mad at Moses for killing the people when he didn't have a bit more to do with it than you or I did. And then a plague came and 40,000 of them died because they got angry towards the prophet. Oh my, but yet all of them came out saying God sent a prophet. But as time went on, it began to get fewer and fewer and fewer. And there were those that were lost. There were those that turned against it. There were those that were saved, but yet they couldn't go on into the promised land. There was a remnant. Just like we see today, there was a great falling away. There was many that got to arguing and fussing and fighting in the wilderness. I don't believe Aaron and Miriam and Jethro and all them were lost and sent to hell. No, but they weren't part of that bride type. So just being able to come and say, I believe God sent a prophet and I believe the message, that's not what he's talking about when he said receiving the message for your day. Joshua and Caleb received it, and not only did they say they received it, but they stood on it, and even when it seemed impossible, even when here comes back 12 of them, and 10 of them said, oh, look at the size of those men, we're grasshoppers, and 2 of them said, oh, look at the size of those grapes we're going to enjoy. It depended on what you were looking at. Many of them, they look and they see mistakes and they see all kinds of confusion, and the rest of us look and we can't find any fault in it. Why? It depends on what you're looking at. What about people who profess the message and believe it with all their heart that Brother Branham is a prophet, etc., but never fall in line with the life, still cut hair, dress, act, live like the world, etc.? What will that be? Well, to me, we can't look and see what the heart of that person is. Maybe they're just still struggling with things. Maybe they just haven't reached the spot of victory, or maybe they never will come and fully accept it. I don't know their heart, but I know Isaiah says in Isaiah 29, verse 13, says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So there was a group of people saying, we believe God, we love God, we want to serve God. He said, oh, they draw near me with their lips. They say, I'm a message believer, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm this, I'm that. They draw so nigh with the lips. But then you look and you see the light that it produces, and he said, their heart is far from me. The token, 1963, Brother Branham says, now look, just to believe it is not enough. Not to walk around where it's at isn't enough. See, that's to make yourself worse. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, those borderline believers, Jesus spoke of the same thing. He says in the True Vine and False Vine in 1955, there's such a thing as being a believer and yet being condemned. The devil believes and trembles. So just to come around and say, I believe it, that it's got to be something more than that. If that's all it took, then Jesus died in vain. Because the devil believes it and trembles, but it takes a birth. It takes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what level does that make them to attain to? I don't know. I can't look on the heart. I can't look out on the audience tonight and say, this one's got it and that one don't got it, and this one's got it and that one don't got it. No, I can't look down at the heart. Many of us would have looked and seen Jacob, and we would have thought, oh my, here he is, a shyster, a liar, all these different things, a deceiver. We would have sure thought he was lost, but there was something down on the inside of him that he wanted that birthright so bad, and here was Esau, kind to his daddy, took care of him, never said an ill word to his parents, going along just minding his own business. We would have thought, oh, bless God, he's saved, but down on his heart, he despised the birthright. Jesus said in St. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Brother Branham says it this way, he said, if you love me, you do what I say. Many of them think they love him. Many of them, they even take it to the level of they want to worship him and pray in his name and everything like that. If they really believe that, then why wouldn't they believe what he said? When I heard him today say, read it in the church age book, he said, talking about that messenger to the last church age, he said many of his own close friends would believe that he was Jesus. And he said, but he's not Jesus. He said, he's just the same as John there that was to forerun him. He said, and who is this William Branham in 1961 there? He said, that would make me an antichrist. But yet they claim they love him, but they don't realize what they're doing. Questions and answers on Hebrews part 3. He says, we find out that in our brothers also, Lord, how they figure that they can smoke and drink and carry on like that and still be Christians because they say they believe. He said, let them know that the devil believes also, and he's not saved. He believes and trembles. So we realize it's a scary thing. We don't want to be in the condition of, well, I believe the message, and I believe God sent a prophet, so I'll be okay. Even if I'm not right, I'll be a foolish virgin. I don't want to get in that way. I don't want to chance it, first of all, whether I am a foolish virgin or not. I don't want to risk that. And then second of all, I don't want to go the way that they have to go, hunted down like dogs, killed. Not when it gets to that point, won't be able to buy or sell or do anything. They'll be hunt them down. They'll persecute them in a way that we've never even seen or thought of. I don't want to be part of that group. No. But God will have mercy on them. He said, that they would go through, Brother Bram said, they would go through the judgment for purification. They'd receive eternal life. But I'd rather receive it the way of just God. Just make me a part of the bride to where you've already taken my judgment. So it's not something to play around with. But it does give us hope. It gives us grace for some people that maybe they'll be able to get in that way. But I don't want to come in that way. Church Age Book, page 16. We've looked at it many times recently. The hard, impenitent heart will be judged. The works will be judged. The motives will be judged. There won't be any respect before God. But all will be judged by that word, no one escaping it. Those who heard and wouldn't listen will be judged by what they heard. And those that rested in it, saying they believed it but didn't live it, will be judged. Amen. What a scary thing that we find ourselves in. But yet there's grace. There is grace. I don't want to rule out and say this one didn't make it, and this one made it, and this one didn't make it, and this one made it. I don't know the heart. God's looking at the heart. We look at the condition of some people today, and we think, my, there's not a chance in the world for them. But we don't know what their end will be. We don't know what God can do in their heart and what God's dealing with them on and things like that. And you might look at the outside, just like we read last week, like Brother Branham did, and there he stood in that diner, and he looked at that lady, and she was dressed filthy, she was acting filthy, she was talking filthy, and he thought, God, why don't you just wipe this whole place off the map. Many of, don't judge him. Many of us would have thought the exact same thing. Standing there was the own law, the policeman there, the very law, breaking the law, playing a slot machine where it was illegal in Ohio there, and all these different things going on. And he said he stepped outside, and God gave him that vision of Jesus and those sins hitting him and his blood acting like a bumper. And he said, God, is that the sins of the world? He said, no, that's your sins. He said, my sins are doing that to him. He said, you want to condemn her. And the picture kind of changed for him. Many times I think we need to, maybe have it, maybe God won't give us a vision or something like that, but may God just open our eyes through the word and through the scriptures, through the message, to see that, many times we want to point the finger and judge somebody else, but thank God for grace for us. If it wasn't for grace, we'd be in the same condition. Amen. I don't want to go out and judge everybody, because Romans, I believe it's chapter 2 there, says, judge not, lest ye be judged by the same judgment wherewith ye judge. What did you mean that outside the city there is no light? In the new heaven and new earth, where the foolish virgin lives outside the city, is there still night and day? What I was referring to, I think it was 2 weeks ago or last week, I can't remember, was talking about there in the new heavens and the new earth, how that Jesus would be the light, and that he would light the city, that there wouldn't be a day or night there. He would be the light of the city, but that outside of the city there would still be days and nights, months and Sabbaths and all these different things. That it doesn't light the whole world, that light in the city, but it does light the whole city where the bride is. We'll look at it again by the scriptures. I was kind of just referencing that a couple weeks ago about the difference. They were asking what was the difference between those and the foolish virgins and the different ones compared to the bride. Was their reward different? And the difference is the bride gets to go and be in the marriage supper and gets to go live through the millennium, where the foolish virgins and the others that died, they don't get to be in the marriage supper. They're still here on earth. And then through the millennium, they're still in the grave. At the end of the millennium, they're raised in the great white throne judgment. And those that were were accepted by Christ, that he looked and saw and predestinated them to eternal life, they'll receive eternal life. But the bride and groom will be inside the city, and everybody else will be outside of the city. And they'll bring, the Bible talks about how they'll bring in fruit certain seasons of the year and different things. Isaiah 66 verse 20, we'll just look at it through the scriptures and take a few minutes on this. Says, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. They ask him in questions and answers. Number four, Brother Branham, who will populate the earth outside of the heavenly city? He says it will be the redeemed that will populate the earth outside of the city, but they will not be the elected and called bride. The bride will live inside the kingdom with the king. On the outside will be the kings of the earth that labor and bring their toils, bring their, not toil, but their fruits into the city, and the doors will not be closed by night. Now this light on top of the mountain will not lighten the whole world. It'll only lighten the city, he says. But it can be seen in the distance of thousands of miles, maybe. But it won't lighten the earth, because the Bible said in the new world that from one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, you see, will the people come up before the Lord unto Zion, up to the city to worship. And now they will be outside of the city, not the bride, but the people that come up in the second resurrection at the end of the millennium, the great right throne judgment there. He says that will be tillers of the soil, just like Adam was and so forth, and carers of the garden, but the king and queen will remain inside the city. Amen. I want to be in the city. Amen. What are the eagle-eye, dimmed-over believers, and do they have spiritual amnesia? Well, they know how to ask them, don't they, Brother Jimmy? Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the work of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again the things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who whosoever shall not be offended in me. Brother Branham refers to that as the 11th commandment. I think it's interesting when he comes into Chicago and he preaches the Godhead Explained to the group of ministers. I believe it was 300 or 400 of the ministerial association there in Chicago. And they came and they were going to attack him on his doctrines of serpent seed and Godhead and different things. And there Tommy Hicks was getting it all together. And Brother Branham said he went out by the in the hotel room there that night, said the Lord woke him up about 6 in the morning, said, go stand by the window. He said, I went and stood over by the window, said it was raining. And he said, the Lord showed me, he said, there's going to be a Buddha priest sitting over here. There's going to be another brother sitting over here, called his name. There's going to be another brother over there. Told him where they were sitting and everything like that. And he goes down to breakfast the next morning. He said, Tommy, why don't you go and speak for me this morning? He said, oh, Brother Branham, I couldn't do that. Why? Because he knew in the background they had a trap set for Brother Branham, what they were wanting to do. He said, oh, Brother Branham, I couldn't do that. He said, no, go ahead, Tommy. He said, I'm just, you know, I'm tired and everything. He said, why don't you just go ahead? He said, oh, Brother Branham, I couldn't do that. He said, yeah, and this is why. Because they've got a trap set for me, and this is where this one's going to be sitting, and this is where that one's going to be sitting. And he walked down there, and Tommy Hicks said, you all might not agree with Brother Branham on his doctrine, but he's already told me everything that was going to happen here this morning. God protecting that gift. And he walked out there, and there he stood, 300 of them against one man. He said, here's my Bible. He said, I want one of you to come and prove me wrong on the Godhead. Prove me wrong on serpent seed. Prove me wrong on the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, prove it to me. Here's my Bible. I'll lay it right here. One of you just come and show me. Brother Billy Paul said it was the quietest group of preachers you ever heard. And 200 of them said they were going to come down and get rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not one of them came. They could say that day God sent a prophet, but they didn't accept the message. Amen. And he goes after he preaches, God had explained there at that meeting with the ministers, and he goes in the service the next morning and he preaches on Micah the prophet. And he said, there he stood before that ministerial association. And he talks about how Micah talked to him and what they did and how they said, God said, oh, let a lying spirit go down and get in the mouth of his prophets and all that. And then he comes around the next night and says, preaches the 11th commandment, blessed is he who's not offended in me. Don't tell me he didn't know what he was doing. And there they sat, and I'm sure that many of them will be judged by it. But it was laid out just right. John here sitting in prison, and here he's come. Jesus said he was the greatest man ever born of woman, and he comes here, and he's standing there as a messenger, and he goes, and he proclaims that Jesus is coming, and he says, begins to proclaim his message as the forerunner to Christ, and then he sits in prison, and he begins to get discouraged, and he said, I must decrease so that he can increase, and he sees this young carpenter come along, and the dove hang over him, and he knows that he's the one that's sent, and he proclaims him as so. He even tells some of his disciples, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And his church got a little smaller and a little smaller and a little smaller because they kept following after Jesus. And no doubt it was discouraging to John, but yet he was the very one that said, I must decrease that he can increase. And then one day he got to preaching on marriage and divorce, and Herod said, throw that man in jail. He's going to tear up our church. He's going to tear up my family because he was married to his own brother's wife. And he said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And so they throw him in jail, and there he sits, discouraged. His disciples have left him. He's preached the gospel and got thrown in jail for it. And he said, told some of his friends, he said, go and ask him, is this really him or should we look for another? Because he was expecting somebody to come and just take over Israel, set everybody free, put the Roman Empire out of commission. And here he sits in prison by the Roman Empire, and there he sits. What on earth has happened here? Is this really him or do we look for another? And Jesus didn't, Brother Branham said, Jesus didn't give him a lot of message people would today, a book on how to behave himself in prison. He didn't give him a book of conduct of how to act there in Herod's prison. But he said, he just told him, go and tell John what you see in the meetings, that the sick are being healed and that the dead are being raised and that the, you know, demons are being cast out and people are receiving something, that the gospel's even preached to the poor, not just the up and ups and the ones that can, you know, sign a big tithe check and all that, but even the poor the gospel's preached to. What was he doing? He was showing John that maybe it's not exactly the way you thought it was going to be, John, but this is the ministry that was promised, even though maybe you didn't understand it completely what it was going to be. And he take it back to John in prison. Now, Brother Bram said that was the worst insult that he could have paid Jesus, because here he was, the very one that proclaimed the message of that this was the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And then he begins to question himself, are you really here? Do we look for another? And he said, but then Jesus, he didn't rebuke him and call him a false prophet and run him out of town, but he said Jesus paid him the highest compliment that he could pay him. Said he was the greatest born among women. Brother Branham said, and who is this? In 1959, he said, John in the prison, his eagle eye had got filmed over. His prophetic eye couldn't see like it once seen. Some of the brothers, the voice of God was telling me, talking about some of the different translations and things, where some of the brothers, although no doubt they had good intentions, but instead of having Holy Ghost men that knew the message to translate the message, some of these other brothers that were trying to do translations had hired some people that were translators over in other countries to, you know, translate the message for them. And when they were showing some of the materials to some of the brothers, and they got over to this spot where it said his eagle eye had filmed over, and it said John's movie ended. John's movie ended because the film was over. It filmed over. But they were looking at it intellectually, just going down through interpreting word, 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 word. They didn't understand what he was talking about. So sometimes good intentions don't work out just exactly right. John in the prison, his eagle eye had filmed over. His prophetic eye couldn't see like it once was. He got discouraged. Did that mean John was lost? Absolutely not. Jesus turned right around and paid him the greatest compliment he could pay. Here he was, not just a prophet, but the messenger of the covenant, but yet he got discouraged sitting in jail. And there he had that spirit of Elijah. He wasn't the only one in the Bible. Sarah had a promise. God himself walked down in flesh and discerned the thoughts of Sarah. Said, why did Sarah laugh in the tent behind me? Why did she laugh in the tent behind me? She was there, and she recognized it and recognized who he was. And he said, you'll have a child about the time of life, and begins to tell all these different things that's going to happen. But after years and years of waiting, she began to get a little discouraged. And she said, maybe he meant it was Hagar, Abraham. And she got a little discouraged. And her mistake in, you know, not having pure faith in the Word of God, even though Abraham didn't stumble at the promise, yet her stumbling at the promise and beginning to doubt a little bit, it's still causing troubles today. You open up the newspaper and you can read about it, how the Arabs are still constantly fighting with the children of Israel. Why? Because they didn't have perfect faith to bring it on through the way it was promised. She thought she had a better way to do it. Did that mean she was lost? Absolutely not. Brother Bram said when she laughed there in the tent, said God would have absolutely killed her. But he said she was a part of Abraham, a type of the bride in Christ. There's Mary, the virgin, the mother of Christ. Just an incubator, really, Brother Bram tells us. He said it wasn't even Mary's egg, that it was a created egg. But yet she packed the Lord Jesus in her womb. Just like we sang this morning, or this evening rather, let your word be born in the manger of my heart. And she's packing the word within her. And here he's born, and she takes care of him and raises him to the best of her ability and her knowledge. And he gets up. If Wesley's not here, I'd use him again. But he gets up about 12 years old, and he goes in and sits in the temple, and they went off and left him. Today we'd have a panic attack for sure with all the sick, you know, perverts and everything out here. But they went right off and left him a 2 days journey before they realized, hey, we went off without Jesus. How many's ever done that before? I made plans and I did this and I was gonna have this type of job and I was gonna marry this type of person. I was gonna do this and do that, and you had it all planned out, and you realized, oh, wait a minute, I went off and forgot to ask Jesus about it. And they realized that they had went off and left Jesus, and they went back and began to search frantically for him. And they find him there sitting in the temple talking. And Mary said, you've been worrying us to death, son. Said, my father, your father and I searched bitterly for you. Brother Bram said, there she is, the very one claiming the virgin birth. And she denied her own testimony there, saying, your father and I. And he quickly, the word corrected the error for the day. He said, I must be about my father's business. He wasn't out there, you know, sanding down tables and putting nails into pieces of wood. But he was about his real father's business. There she was, thy father and I have sought thee bitterly. Denied her own testimony. Why? She was nervous and frantic and upset. Didn't realize maybe what she was saying. Did that mean she was lost? Absolutely not. I just read it this afternoon at work on my lunch hour. It said she was there with the 120 when they all received the Holy Ghost. But she got discouraged. There was Aaron. Moses went in the spirit for 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain to receive the word. There he went in the spirit and power of God, didn't even eat, fasted 40 days and 40 nights up there, and he comes down, and Aaron's already backslid and got a golden calf for him because the people had pressured him into it. And he comes down, gets mad, throws the stone tablets down, goes up and fasts another 40 days and 40 nights in the spirit. But what was it? Was Aaron lost? I don't believe so a bit. He was part of the original priesthood that God ordained. But what was it? His eagle eye began to get a little filmed over in the absence there. Samson, he had ran well for a while, and then he got to looking at a woman, and his eagle eye got filmed over until they finally put him completely out. But then he had a little revival and said, once more, Lord. Once more, Lord. There said Elijah. He raised a dead baby, called for heavens to stop raining, and they stopped raining. And then he ran at the threat of a woman and sat under a juniper tree and felt sorry for himself. Why? Because he was a man of like passions, just like you and I. He had the ability to get discouraged, just like you and I. Jonah went, was swallowed by a whale, went down to the bottom of the water. Supernatural things happened. He was down there 3 days and three nights, no food, no oxygen. How did he survive? God had a special prepared fish. And yet he goes through all that and sees all that and comes out and preaches a revival. Most of us would be pretty excited if we preached a revival and the whole city repented. Amen. But he was discouraged because he was supposed to come and tell them that they were going to be destroyed. He was preaching, you know, hellfire and brimstone. He went up there on the hill to watch God destroy him, and then God didn't destroy him. He thought, Lord, here, I thought, you're righteous and holy. I thought for sure you'd wipe him off the map. And he got discouraged. He had a little gourd tree experience there where he was a little discouraged. But God, that didn't mean he was lost. God was able to bring him through it. David backslid, did all these different things, slept with another man's wife, had him killed, went out and did all these things, numbered the people when God told him not to, but yet God didn't smite him, God didn't kill him, God didn't send his soul to hell, but he didn't make him pay for his mistakes. But David said over in the Psalms, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He might have went through trials, and he might have went through hardships, and he might have went through discouragement and all kinds of battles, but that didn't mean that he was lost. So we can't just look at somebody and say, well, their eagle eye got a little filmed over and they just don't see it like they used to, so we're just going to throw them off. No, we don't know what the end of that person will be. Now, could they be? Absolutely, they could. They could send away their day of grace. They could go too far. They could blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But let's have grace for them because we don't know. We don't know what's in their heart. We don't know how far they've gone. God knows. And as we taught last week on sending away your day of grace, if they get that far, I believe we'd be able to tell it because they wouldn't want nothing to do with God or the message or anything else. They'd absolutely just hate it. But yet, I believe God can give grace and permit to go a lot further than we do sometimes. What's the difference between spiritual amnesia and the foolish virgin? I assume that one is a believer that can recover from the spiritual amnesia, and the other wasn't a real believer to begin with. Well, I believe you can get spiritual amnesia and come out of it, and then I believe there's some that get spiritual amnesia and never come out of it. Just like the natural always types the spiritual. Some people, they get amnesia, and they can't remember who they are, and then one day just something triggers it, and they come back to their senses, and they remember, and they recognize. We'll read a quote about it here in a minute. And then others, they sit the rest of their life. They don't know who they are, where they came from, what they're doing. Why? Because Brother Bram talks about the different things that can cause it. So to be able to say, set in stone, which group is which and all that, I believe there could be foolish virgins that had spiritual amnesia. I believe they'll come out of it if they are. I believe some will go into spiritual amnesia and absolutely just never come out of it. And then there'll others. Remember, Brother Bram said the elect cannot be deceived. He didn't say we couldn't get confused. Thank God for that, because I've been confused before. But I've never been deceived. I don't worry. You know, if we have a guest preacher, I don't sit here and chew my fingernails raw and bleeding, worried about whether he's going to deceive me or not. Because if anybody would say something contrary to the Word of God, I've got the Holy Ghost, and I believe it would send a little question mark, say, I don't know about that. We'll go back and look at that after he leaves or whatever. But I'm not going to worry myself to death about being deceived. So many are so scared to death of any type of ministry because they're scared to death that they're going to be deceived. Well, they're probably deceived in the first place then. Because the elect cannot be deceived. Didn't say we couldn't get confused for a while. Said we couldn't be deceived. Spiritual amnesia, 1964. Now this amnesia, we're told it's cause you to be up to a place where you cannot identify yourself. Now it's an unusual thing. It doesn't happen too often. But the causes is from shock. Hey, there's a lot of people that have got spiritual amnesia from shock. Some of them are shocked about something that happened in their personal life. Maybe their wife left them, or maybe they got discouraged. Maybe they lost their job, and they thought, well, how could this happen if God really loved me? And they had a shock in their life that just absolutely upset them and disturbed them, and they got spiritual amnesia over it. Said, God doesn't love me. I'm not predestinated. Poor, pitiful me, and went and sat under the juniper tree like old Elijah. They got spiritual amnesia from a shock. Some of them opened up a website one day and began to read all these questions, question, 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 question about the message, and they didn't have all the answers, and they got spiritual amnesia. The causes is from shock. It's somebody that don't even know who they are. You find it from wars sometimes. Soldiers get it. Sometimes people get it. Another thing causes it is worry. Worry will cause it. Worry has no virtue to it at all. Yeah, just skip worry and accept faith. People get so worried. Oh, what if I lose my job? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they shut the church down? What if they do this? What if this happens in politics? What if that happens in politics? Hey, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. I'm not going to worry and fret and get upset and, you know, not sleep at night because I'm worried about every little thing. I'm never going to be able to figure it all out anyhow. No matter how late I stay up and try to figure it and plan it and everything, it'll probably be different the next day anyhow than I expected. So I'm not going to let Satan worry me and worry me and worry me. You say, you never worry, Brother Nathan? I didn't say that. I said, I'm not going to let him worry me and worry me and worry me. He said, just skip worry and accept faith. He says again, and another thing that causes it among people is getting between two opinions. Many sit there today. Is the message right or is it wrong? Is it okay to do this or is it not? Is this brother right or is he wrong? Is this okay, this okay? And what do? They sit between two opinions. And they go over to this brother. Brother, what do you believe about it? And he tells them, okay, well, I'm not sure that sounds okay, but that wasn't the answer I wanted. What do you believe about it, brother? Oh, I like that. That's what I was kind of thinking too, but maybe I'll get another opinion. And they go and they go back and forth. Paul said, you know, don't halt between two opinions. And they get between two opinions. He says in 64 again, spiritual amnesia, God's word vindicated, proved that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just the same as it ever was on the day of Pentecost or any other time. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your attitude towards that identifies whether you have spiritual amnesia or not. That's right. No matter whether you're a deacon or even if you're a preacher, it doesn't make, yeah, they get it too. So we find out it's a contagious and it hits the whole thing. You say, oh, he's a minister. Bless God, he'd never get spiritual amnesia. I've seen many of them get it and fall away, do all kinds of different things we never thought we'd see him do. Why? Spiritual amnesia. They got halted between two opinions too long, or they got shocked about something, or they got to worrying about something. They let it eat at them and eat at them and eat at them. And one day they woke up, well, you believe God sent a prophet? I'm not sure. I don't know. Well, what do you believe? You going back to the denominations? I don't know. Halted between two opinions. Can they come back to the truth or be awakened? I believe they can if they're predestinated to be. If they're predestinated to be, I don't care how many demons out of hell attack them, if they confuse them, if they give them spiritual amnesia, if they backslide, do whatever, as long as they don't go so far to send away their day of grace, I believe absolutely they can be restored and awakened out of their amnesia if they're predestinated to. Let's read this tonight. It's a little bit lengthy, but talking of the natural type and the spiritual, maybe it'll be an encouragement to you. He said, a French soldier, I was told a little story before we close. I didn't know it was even that late, and I got about 10 pages of notes here left, he says. Get it some other time. Notice a French soldier. They got a bunch of soldiers in from the army, and they had this amnesia. It's from shock and on the battle. And they had a program. They called up and let people who had missing loved ones to call and see if they could identify these boys. No hope for them. Maybe one or two out of it caught it. And they took the rest of them. They was going to put them in a sanitarium where they'd have to stay the rest of their life. And they was going up the hillside, train pulling, and they stopped at a station. Let the boys get out and stretch their legs, and the guards got out on the hill to watch them, because with amnesia, they had to watch them. So they watched one young fella there. He got out, and he began to look around the water tank. Looked all over around the hill, and he looked again. He seen that water tank. He looked all around at the station. He started walking. Instead of the guard stopping him, he followed him. He went up over the hill and down a little path, turned to the right, and went up over another little hill and come to a little log cabin. He looked. Coming out on the porch, an old man with a cane in his hand come out and throw his arms around him, said, my son, I knowed you would return. They told me you were dead, but I knowed you would return. And the boy come to himself. His amnesia left him. He could identify who he was. He knowed that was his father. He said, oh, soldier of the cross, that's been shocked with so much training, so many shocks of denomination and creed and things of the world. Why don't you just stop off for a few minutes and go to looking around in the Bible? Why don't you just stop a minute and go looking around in the Bible? Oh, I wish I could get some of them here in his presence a little while. Maybe they begin to look around. Maybe they sat in a cold, formal church and maybe they begin to get discouraged about the message because they didn't see signs and wonders following like it should. And they got to sitting there and they got halted between two opinions and they got spiritual amnesia and they don't even know who they are anymore. They don't know who to be identified with. Are we identified with the world? Are we identified with the denominations? Are we identified with the message? They don't even know where they're identified with. And yet, if we could just get them to take a little look around, maybe they could recognize the water tower over there somewhere. Maybe think, I remember Brother Ram talking about that. That seems right. I remember Paul said that same thing too. Look over here. Yeah, I remember that. And walk a little further. Oh, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is starting to come back to me a little bit now. And I remember Paul said that same thing that Brother Branham's teaching there. And you know, the Godhead, that's the way Paul taught it. And they get a little further down the path and they see the cabin. Oh my, serpent, see, that just makes sense in the Bible. You know, once you see it, how can you not see it? And they begin to recognize and look and see and become quick and say, oh, I recognize who I am again. Glory to God. If he can do it in the natural, he can do it in the spiritual. He said, might wander around and you might find yourself identified here in the Word as a believer one of these days. You might not know him. You may come to yourself like the prodigal son did and find yourself. You might find your identification in the words of God. Amen. That's my prayer tonight. Many that have fallen away back to the world, back to denomination, back to their own ideas, whatever it would be, and they've strayed away and they've got spiritual amnesia, may they begin to look a little bit, look and live, and may the Holy Spirit quicken it to them and bring to their recognition that who they are and what God called them to be. I know he's more than able to. Amen. If the musicians would come tonight, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing the questions on the people's heart, Lord, many of them foolish virgins and spiritual amnesia and different things about heaven and life after here and the judgment, all these different questions, concern about friends and family and maybe themselves, Lord. But Lord, help us tonight to have courage. Help us to have grace. Help us to hold the doors of grace just as far open as we can hold them open, Father, tonight. Lord, may you just stir hearts, Lord. May you start a revival, Lord, and may people begin to recognize. May they stop and begin to look around and see in the Word things that are familiar to them, things that they know in their heart is true. May it begin to quicken to them. May you open their eyes and deliver them. Lord, that eagle eye that got filmed over, may you just begin. May they go through that purification stage like those old eagles and go and just begin to beat themselves against the rock, Father. Oh, Lord, may they begin to clean off every little thing that would blind their eyes. And, Lord, may you just open their eyes again, renew their youth like the eagles, Father. Lord, awaken them from their spiritual amnesia and help them to recognize who they are tonight. Open their eyes, Father, we pray, for those that it can be opened. Lord, we love you and we have confidence in you. Lord, we apply the token to our family, to our loved ones, Lord. Those that maybe have strayed or wandered, Father, maybe Satan's got them confused and upset, Father, but we know that you're more than able to deliver them tonight. Lord, help us just to keep the door of grace open. Help us, Lord, not to give up on them, but to keep praying and seeking and pressing, Father. Help us, Lord, if we can't get them to come into your presence, Lord, may we just take that presence around them, Father. Lord, may you begin to do a work in their lives, Father, we pray. Lord, you see the questions on the hearts of the people. You see the things that are troubling them and bothering them. Lord, may this just give them encouragement tonight. May it give them a little hope, Father, and may that hope just breed faith. And may that faith just bring it to pass, Father, tonight. Lord, may just a little work begin to happen in each one. Lord, just to draw us all closer to you as we see the day approaching, realizing the seriousness of these situations, Father. Help us not to play around with it, Father, but help us to live it. Help us to believe it. Help us to accept it with every fiber of our body, Lord, and lay aside everything that would hinder and keep pressing on, Lord, into more and more of you, Father, deeper depths and higher heights, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, oh, without him, how lost I would be. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Friend, do you know him today? Oh, please don't turn him away.
how lost I would be. Let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, without Him, I could do nothing. And without Him, I truly fail. Oh, without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, do you know Him today? Friend, please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Oh, Jesus, yes, Father. Oh, Jesus, let's just worship Him. Do you know Him today? Oh, please don't turn Him away. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus. Without Him, how lost I would be. Oh, and we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. And it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, we're gonna walk in the light. Oh, it's such a beautiful light. And it comes where those dewdrops of His mercy shine bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, He's Jesus, the light of the world. Maybe He's tried to blind you and deceive you, but let's walk in the light. Oh, it's such a beautiful light. And it comes where those dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's my Master, my Savior, oh Jesus, like a fragrance right after the rain. Oh, my Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, Lord, let all and earth proclaim. I know kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let's stand and sing it tonight.
Oh, he's my Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, there's just something about that name. And he's my master, my Savior. Oh, Jesus, Lord, like a fragrance right after the rain. Oh, Jesus, my Jesus, oh, Jesus, Lord, let all heaven and earth proclaim. I know kings and kingdoms, Lord, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the name.
That way again.
Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find me. Oh, he's the only one who cares and understands. Oh, standing in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand.
Let's sing this again.
Oh, Jesus, oh, my
time together.
Oh, Jesus,
you love him tonight?
Oh, Jesus, friend, do you know him today? Oh, please don't turn him away. My Jesus, oh, without him, how lost I would be.
Let's just pray again as they play that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the service tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, for quotes and scriptures that we can go to for an answer. Lord, when we're searching, Lord, just be with each one here tonight, Father. Lord, if there's any that don't know you, Father, help them, Lord, just to receive you tonight. Lord, may it not just be an intellectual conception of knowing, but Father, may it be a personal relationship with you. Lord, if there's any that, Lord, maybe they've received the Holy Ghost, maybe they've been saved and baptized, but maybe Satan's discouraged them and tried to get their eagle eye a little filmed over. Father, may you just break all that away tonight, every chain, everything that would bind, and Lord, just open their eyes. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, for our loved ones, for our friends, for those that have strayed, Father, may you just send your Holy Spirit after them. Lord, if they're yours, Lord, we know that you'll bring them back. Lord, we're praying for them tonight, Father. Lord, we apply the token to them, Lord. We believe. Brother Bram said if Cornelius could believe for himself, he could believe for his house too. Help us, Father. Rahab, she didn't want it just for herself, but she tried to get her mommy and her daddy, her uncles, everybody she could get in the house, Father, where that token was applied. Help us, Lord. Help us to keep in prayer for those that have gone astray, Father. Help us to be a light to those that have maybe never heard about it. And Lord, help us to live a life worthy of the gospel so that others could see and want more of you, Father, we pray. Be with us tonight. Be with each one as they go. Just protect them. Keep them safe. Give us wisdom. Give us strength for the journey, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Please don't turn him away, oh Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, without him, how lost I would be. I believe I forgot to do it again. Brother Layton, you don't have to pass it around, but just give it to Brother Joel at the back. If you have tithes or offering you want to give tonight, you can give it to Brother Joel. I don't want to pass it now in the middle of service and interrupt things, but you forgive my memory. Amen. Let's sing it tonight. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, hiding in his great love. Well, it's from a harm's end and his sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Well, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. For the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. You believe that tonight? I'm living by faith, Lord, in Jesus above. And I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. And it's from a harm's sake in his sheltering arms. Lord, I'm living by faith. Oh, yes, and I feel alone. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. So why should I then care, though tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, and I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. Lord, it's from a harm saved in his sheltering arms. I'm living by faith, and I feel. God bless you tonight. Let's sing it as we go. Yes, I'm living by faith in Jesus above.